He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the holy city of Jerusalem, in the temple rebuilt after the exile and beautified by Herod, hundreds of people fluttered about every single day. Priests, pilgrims, citizens, offering sacrifices and prayers to Almighty God. This number would swell to millions, Josephus tells us, on the high holy days, especially at Passover. The population of the city of Jerusalem would jump from tens of thousands to something, according to him, approaching 3 million souls. And yet in the quiet of the temple on this solemn day, the Holy Gospel depicts for us, the day when the child Jesus was presented in the temple by his holy parents, only two people out of those hundreds, the holy Simeon and the prophetess Anna, see the miracle unfolding before their eyes. He was the light, and the light was the light of men. How can a light shine and not be seen? The light of our infant king, so newly born, is only visible to those with eyes of faith. We wonder often why God does not speak to us, why our prayers are not heard. It is not that he is not there to be seen, nor that the voice of the eternal word has ceased to speak. God indeed has never ceased to speak to us, has never hidden his face from us. But we have not had the faith to see, nor the faith to hear. Oh, that this day you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts, the psalmist says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How could it be that this holy people, this people consecrated to Almighty God, born of Abraham, heirs to his promise like us, how could they, how could we, not see the God so prophesied to them, the Messiah in their midst? Their eyes were covered with attachments to the things of this world, their ears stopped up, covered by worldly sayings. For only a free heart can see God. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God, our blessed Savior promised in the Sermon on the Mount. St. Francis de Sales loved the phrase from the 8th chapter of St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, all things turn to the good of those who love God. St. Francis de Sales was convinced, as we must be, that in God we have a loving Father, a love that is eternal, therefore a love that can be seen if we have eyes to see it. I have loved you with an eternal love, therefore have I drawn thee, taking pity on thee. He spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. He speaks to us. His mercies are above all his works, and he has never ceased to speak to us and never ceased to chase after us. And in this little Christ child, we find the supreme act of his love, the supreme act of his mercy. Simeon prophesied today in the Spirit what that love will cost our God, what that love will cost to these three hearts, this sacred heart of Jesus, this immaculate heart of Mary, this purest heart of Saint Joseph. We cannot doubt the love that God bears to us, but we acknowledge it very often in a distant way. Yes, God sent his only Son, but did he send him for me? What of my intentions? What of my cares, my worries? Does God send his Son for these also? If God is a loving Father, if nothing escapes his providence, nothing in our lives, no person, no word, no victory, no defeat, no sorrow, no joy, befalls us without his loving gaze. Thus the anxiety and the fear that creep up within us are due above all not to his absence, but to our own blindness. Jesus tells us that the mouth speaks from the fullness of the heart. It is true of the words that leave our lips in speech. It is true also of the words that we address to ourselves in the quiet of our hearts, when we think words of anxiety, words of resentment. We are full then not of the Spirit of God, of the light that enlightens all men, this divine infant. We are full instead of the views of this world. Just as the food that I consume will change my body, the news, the music, the films, the noise that I consume will inevitably change my soul. If we let the world lay its claim, we too, like the Jews at the time of Jesus, we will see this holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph walk into the temple, and we will pass them right by. On the contrary, Simeon and Anna have lived lives of faith, lives of detachment, lives of attachment to God. Today's Holy Gospel speaks of Anna's great virtue, of how holily she has lived her time of widowhood. She has spent every waking moment preparing for the arrival of the Christ child, and God in her old age has rewarded her fidelity. She sees clearly that he has come, and though his own received him not, she receives him, and her heart is filled with joy, reborn at the arrival of the Christ child. Few of us here this morning in this sacred hall will ever take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But these three counsels, these three evangelical counsels, bind us all without exception in their spirit. Every Christian must be poor in spirit, even if we do not renounce our right to property like monks do. Every Christian must be chaste, even if we take a wife or husband unto us in holy matrimony. And every Christian must be obedient to the voice of God, even if we do not bind ourselves to a religious superior, as brothers and sisters do. It is of the spirit of obedience that I would like to speak to you today. St. Francis de Sales says, quoting St. Bernard, that Jesus Christ preferred rather to resign his life than his obedience. That supreme moment of Good Friday is not far now. We have begun the great drama of our redemption. Simeon speaks of it today, and he speaks of the sword that will pierce this mother's heart. How can we imitate the Christ child in his unflinching obedience to God the Father? How can we live with that spirit? It is with the eyes of faith. There is no moment in our lives, no event, no matter how small and trivial, when we cannot practice the spirit of obedience. Simeon and Anna prepared their lives for this moment, as we too must prepare by seeing God in every moment, constantly acknowledging his presence. As St. Paul says to the Athenians, in him we live and move and have our being. We can always call to mind his sacred presence. There is no work so banal, no chore so trivial, that it cannot be done for the love of God. The cross that he sends you inevitably during your day, that sharp word from your spouse, the carelessness of a fellow driver, the disappointment of a failure, all have been prepared for you from eternity. And God is there, lovingly sending you this cross, detaching a piece from that sacred wood that he knows you alone can bear. He has destined it for no other. It is meant for you. And he has willed from all eternity that the world should be saved through this little piece of the sacred wood that you faithfully bear with him. The spirit of obedience, therefore, is a spirit of faith. To obey in those small moments when God asks you, will you carry this cross with me? To bear patiently, humbly, with the same love with which he has loved us. 30 years Jesus spent thus in quiet and humble adoration of the Father, bearing his daily cross before he bare the cross of our salvation. The only visible adorers then, his Immaculate Mother, his purest foster father. Likewise, you too in this humble life, constantly obedient to the will of God, you too will grow in grace and truth before men, until your supreme moment comes as well. Until he will call you to be with him on that sorrowful way and die a death like his. But you will be ready, because you will have lived lives of faith, having seen him in every moment, you'll be graced to see him at your last hour, and there this holy family will welcome you. Do not neglect these moments, no matter how small they seem. Practice humble trust with the eyes of faith. Remember, as St. John of the Cross says, that love is only repaid with love. Behind every moment that contradicts you is not merely the hand of your spouse, your coworker, or your boss, but the hand of Almighty God asking you, pleading with you, help me to carry my cross. To a heart that loves, enough will never be enough. As Jesus reminds us, if your neighbor asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. Love your neighbor generously. Do not be content with enough. Do not be content to forgive. Make the first move. Do that little extra kindness for your spouse without asking, that you know will make their day easier. Do not give your work 90%, but 110%. As St. Augustine reminds us, work as though everything depends on you. Pray as though everything depends on God. May this holy family be at the center of your hearts throughout this sacred season. May the spirit of obedience, one of the great graces of Christmas, always adorn your Christian hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.